I wasn't dead. I was deaf. I was blind. I was in a fuck ton of pain. I couldn't feel my legs. But I wasn't dead. I gasped for air. My health indicator blinked, the lowest it had ever been. My eardrums had been blown out. My entire face felt burned, my eyes included. The pain was overwhelming, like hundreds of claws pulling at me from different directions at once. They were still pulling, ripping pieces of me away. The tank still had a minute left before it would run out. I wasn't out of danger yet. I could feel Donut standing on top of me. I could feel the vibration of her voice. She was shouting, pawing at me desperately.
If you're saying something to me, I can't hear you.
Donut.
You have to stand up! The room is on fire! We killed the boss! The door is open, but the fire is getting closer! Hurry!
I can't. I think my legs are broken. I can't feel them.
I pulled up my health UI, looking at the damage to my body. The entire pie chart was blinking red, all except my feet. My health was at 6% and still ticking downward. I was bleeding internally. I had third-degree burns on my face. My legs were broken where the table had smashed into them. A moment later, I felt myself moving through the debris. I realized it was Donut, dragging me by my cloak, pulling me from the room. My whole body screamed with pain. A blinking message warned I was about to pass out. Donut.
Carl, you need to work on your cardio. You are much heavier than you look.
10 seconds before you can heal me. Get Skrull ready.
I awakened, my body screaming. I felt everything inside of me repair itself. Donut had used one of the healing scrolls, possibly at the last possible second. I jammed down on my healing spell also, which sped up the process. I felt my hearing return, my sight restored, the burn on my face smoothed out. I didn't move for several moments, sitting there, staring up at the ceiling of the hallway.
You saved me. Again.
Donut sat next to me, desperately cleaning herself. I still didn't dare move, not trusting the bones in my body not to break again.
That's what I do.
Donut.
I don't want to say this out loud, but our views went way up. Isn't it great?
I rolled onto my side. My one-armed jacket was now scorched to hell. My cloak and other magical items didn't have a scratch on them. I looked down at my toes, and they sparkled.
I think I was saved by that damn pedicure kit. The table should have severed my feet right at the ankles. Instead, it bounced off and broke my legs. I would have bled out.
The fire in the expanded boss chamber eventually died off, leaving nothing but melted slag. We wandered in. The alchemy table I'd used as the top part of our shield was undamaged. The other table, the readout piece that I'd used here as a shield, was now shattered and scorched.
Huh. Weird.
I touched the alchemy workshop table, and it was cool to the touch. I pulled it back into my inventory. I had 2 such tables now, designed to be placed inside of personal spaces. This one and the engineer's table. It seemed they were indestructible. This was a bug. A bug I could exploit. I couldn't say anything about it, though. Not out loud. Had the table's invulnerability saved us? I was going to need to pay attention to the nightly list of patch notes to make sure they didn't fix this one. In the meantime, I'd use it to our advantage. The ductwork on the ceiling hung in tatters, a few pieces still clinging to the chamber by braces. The severed, skeletal remains of tentacles lay scattered. The ground was hot to the touch.
Let's get the neighborhood map.
I hesitantly moved toward the main boss chamber. I cringed, afraid we'd find more dead babies. I shouldered past the long, crumbling skeleton bones to behold the lair of Krakaren.
It smells like that time you tried microwaving Fancy Feast in here.
I was drunk, and you ate that shit right up. More tattered ductwork filled the room. There had been banners on the wall, but I could no longer read them. I didn't see anything that could be construed as baby skeletons, which was a relief. Dozens of Chloricons had been in here, along with a few splatters that might have been Laminac fairies. The mechanical remains of a moonshine still sat in the corner, like I suspected, but it appeared the machine was much smaller than I'd guessed it might be. It was probably why I was still alive. I'd assumed the thing to be huge and explosive. The remnants of copper tubes snaked from the machine to the main, dead body of the Krakaren monster. She'd been huge, 20 feet tall at least, an immobile, octopus-like creature. Her stinking, dead body leaned against the back wall as we stared at it. Half of her head was burned away, but it seemed she had a beaked mouth and a group of eyes. Black streaks ran down the massive corpse like running mascara. She stank of rotting seafood. They'd taken some sort of cosmic octopus creature and combined it with your average suburban anti-vax let-me-talk-to-your-manager-mom. At least that was my impression. The door on the outside of the room, this whole ridiculous storyline with the MLM moonshine certainly made it seem that way. But there was more to it, too. I suspected the Krakaren collective, or whatever they called it, was a real thing. Sort of. This whole time, it had seemed they were just combining absurd stereotypes from Earth with random monsters just to fuck with us. It came to me now as I stared up at this thing that they were doing the opposite. After all, this was all really for the benefit of the audience, not us. They were taking something familiar to the viewers, like these interstellar dumbass octopus monsters, and combining them with an Earth analog in an effort to both teach the watchers about Earth culture and to lampoon interstellar cultures and creatures they felt deserving of scorn. Kind of like the way cartoonists would sometimes personify rats and snakes as scumbags, or foxes as shady used car dealers, or Persian cats as princesses. A massive cage filled half the room, still intact. The creatures within had mostly burned to slag, but I could see that it had been filled to the brim with brindle grubs. They were all dead.
We never got to see the boss up close.
I moved near enough to loot the neighborhood map.
Something tells me this isn't the last time we'll see this one.
The twists and turns of the neighborhood populated onto my interface.
Ah, fuck. What? Look at the map.
At least 50 red dots filled the area, all of them slow-moving. Brindle grubs. It was like they could sense a battle, and they converged on an area. Killing them wasn't a problem. They didn't fight back. I could literally run over them and kill an entire hallway of them in seconds. But that was a lot of them. A whole lot. I planned out the path to the tutorial guild. It wasn't far, just a few hundred meters away.
Let's go talk to Mordecai.